Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I met the emperor when I was vice president, Quayle, chief of staff. We went over.
By the time she asked me that question, even though it was kind of early on in the interview.
The move from Gibson, from Guantanamo Bay to Thompson, Illinois.
I met the emperor when I was vice president, Quayle, chief of staff. We went over.
He needs his mama.
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. Where reality is our bitch. And on this program, we take a trip through the looking glass of not only news, but media. Anyway.
Very pretty, Mr. Hendry, very pretty. But can they fight?
What is that?
Very pretty, Mr. Hendry.
No, he's trying to say from Dirty Dozen.
From Dirty Dozen what?
Very, very pretty, General, but can they fight?
That's what I get for watching Inglourious Bastards with you guys.
I didn't say it.
Which, by the way, we did see this weekend. Great, great movie. And I know that I'm a little late to the table on Inglourious Bastards. Everybody, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Yeah, I saw it. It's a funny movie. And basically, Inglourious Bastards is the Quentin Tarantino's vision of how World War II should have gone. And I have to tell you, in watching the film, I agree. I mean, if World War II had actually gone the way it goes in Inglourious Bastards, it would have been a beautiful thing, man. It would have ended about, I don't know, say 8-9 months sooner than it did. And it would talk about going out with a bang. It would have been a beautiful thing. And a very funny movie. And on top of that, who's the guy? Christopher Maltz, is that his name?
Yeah, it's Christopher Waltz.
Christopher Waltz?
Maltz, yeah.
Well, what is it, Maltz or Waltz?
It's Maltz. It's Maltz, yeah.
No, it ain't Maltz. It's Waltz. He's the Austrian actor who plays the main Nazi. This guy knocks it out of the park. And I think he'll win an Oscar. Lionel didn't say that first. I did. Okay.
Yeah, you know he did.
I know he did. All right, 877-876-FILM. So the outrage over Obama bowing, we can talk about that. I just wanted to give my opinion on that. And not really an opinion. It's more of a historical perspective because here's the thing. Everybody's going crazy, and I don't blame them. It's sort of an American thing. And while I understand that there are precedents, and there may not be one for the bow, I know there's one for the flag. The flag, as we said, is always flown higher than any other flag. And the flag, you don't dip the flag to any foreign leader. It is a tradition among some countries that their flag dips to a foreign leader. But you got to understand, a lot of countries are much older than America, and America's tradition started relatively recently, within the last couple of hundred years, bucking the tradition of literally hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years, of other cultures. So that's kind of how we do it. Now, Obama bowed, and then he looked at the emperor. Maybe that was his way of sort of a half-ass bow. I don't know. It's a tradition that we don't sort of kowtow or kiss at or whatever you want to call it to foreign leaders, going all the way back to the days when we kicked the king out. That's all, because America was founded on a brand new way of looking at things. Kings suck. No, 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 no kings. No, no. No, only the L.A. Kings, man. That's it.
Yeah.
No other kings, okay? And even the L.A. Kings blow. But we'll take them. But no other kings, no monarchs, no emperors, and we don't kiss their ass, and we don't bow, and we don't do any of that. Now, there's some people who, because they support the president, they want to make excuses. Well, that's all right. I'm not married to the idea that you can't bow to an emperor, because I don't know what the tradition is. And it is tradition. It's not written down. It's not codified anywhere. There's no law that's being broken. It's a tradition. Now, why are traditions important? Traditions are important because they give us a connection to the past. It's a tradition to take your hat off when you hear the anthem. Are you going to go to jail if you don't? No. It's a tradition to sing the national anthem. It's a tradition to play the national anthem before ball games. Are people going to go to jail if they don't play the damn national anthem before the ball game? No. It may be a tradition in your family, for instance, to unwrap Christmas presents on Christmas morning. If you change and you do it at midnight, are you going to burn in hell or go to jail? No. Will it upset some people? Sure, because it's a tradition. What the hell do you want me to say? But I will tell you this, and I haven't been shy about saying this. I personally, I'm all done now with the whole America. Gee, you better be sorry. I still don't get what we're supposed to be sorry for. Honest to God, I don't get it at all. I don't understand it at all. At all. I don't care what other countries think. Why would I care what other countries think? That's like holding in your hand a perfect diamond with no flaws. And the guy across the street is saying, you know, that diamond sucks. I got better diamonds over here. You know, what? How could you have a better diamond than this, man? It's absolutely flawless. Well, and by the way, you charge too much money for your diamonds. I got a perfect diamond. What the hell do you want me to say? What do I got to apologize? I live in the greatest country the world has ever known. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the human race. The human race created this thing called America because we'd been through so much that didn't work. We'd been through kings. We'd been through emperors. We'd been through czars. We'd been through the tribal and the clan. And we'd been through all of it. And we finally came up with this, and this is a great thing. What the hell have we got to apologize for? Nothing. I said it on the show a few times. I'll say it again. When 9/11 happened and those towers went down, I personally think it was if the world was shaking in its boots and crapping its pants, I think that's a good thing because of the good that this country has done over the years, the blood that it's shed, the wealth that it's shared with the world, the people it's taken in, for all the good that we've done. When you turn around and hit us and kill 3,000 of our people, you damn sure better run and hide. What's wrong with that? Run, hide, and pray we don't find you. Now we got a lot of lazy asses. Well, Afghanistan this and Iraq that. Meanwhile, history is unfolding. As we've said, the Green Revolution in Iran, you know, we can say what we want and we can sit here with our thumb up our ass and say, well, it's a bad move here, bad move there. But guess what? History is now beginning to... It's beginning to roll out a little bit. What's going on in Iran right now? You think that's an accident? You can't keep it from happening, right? Either we're going to be on the train or we're not, man. And I ain't talking about the green train of whether or not the oceans are rising. I'm talking about the historical imperative of history. Okay, I don't want to get too heavy.
Yeah, you every time you talk about that stuff.
All right, I'm not talking about it anymore. Okay. But as far as the bow, whatever, you know, the president is going to have to answer for that. And to be quite honest with you, the bigger issue here is that a lot of people are talking about is this trial in New York of these guys from Gitmo, these detainees. They're going to have a trial in New York. Okay. I don't know what the answer is. And we've tried to say over the years, they're not really prisoners of war. But they're not civilians. They're some weird thing, you know. So I figure, all right, try their asses in New York. And while they get this world stage that everybody says they're going to get, there's also one other thing that's going to happen. The world is going to see America and how its judicial system works yet again. And it will see all the evidence. It will see all of the arguments. You know, let me put it to you this way, folks. The Nuremberg War Crimes Trials, it was a military tribunal. It was a military tribunal, and they were trying civilians. Some of them were civilians. Some of them were diplomats. They were not military men. They were diplomats. They had Ribbentrop, who was the foreign minister. And again, you know, you can look back to this history, as long as we were talking about Inglourious Bastards, and you have the blueprint. The Nuremberg War Crimes Trials were covered by every newspaper, magazine, everything in the world. There was a press gallery that was packed, and it was out in the open, and they had it in the biggest damn place they could find in Nuremberg, and it was a fully public, it was not a secret military tribunal, it was public, the whole damn world saw it. You can go online right now and see everything. You can see how these Nazis were afforded defense attorneys, how these Nazis were afforded discovery. They were allowed to call witnesses in their defense. They were allowed to cross-examine the prosecution's witnesses. They were allowed to have, fair warning if a surprise witness was coming. They were allowed to have every single thing that you could possibly give somebody in a trial, they got to have. It was a military tribunal. There were five judges representing the five victorious powers. It was France and Russia and Britain and the United States. And I guess I'm missing one somewhere. France, Britain, Russia, the United States, and
China.
What do you mean, China?
Japan. All right.
In any event, wide open, baby, wide open. And you could see for yourself the lies and the prevaricating and the tortured logic used by these scum. And guess what? They hung like three quarters of them. I mean, they stretched their necks. So maybe this is good. Let this guy go on trial in New York. Let's get a big fat whiff of this fat ass and his underlings. Let's take a look at him. Let's look at how medieval they are. Let's look at how stupid they are, how ignorant they are, how xenophobic and racist and anti-female they are, how homophobic they are. Let's take a look, a good long look at who and what it is we're doing. I love it. I think it's a great idea. Put them on trial in New York. Let the world get a big long look and smell of these guys, because they're going to go down for the count. You know it as well as I do. And then, you know the other thing? I don't think they ought to get the death penalty. Stick their ass in Supermax for the rest of their fat lives. Get fat so to lose about 600 pounds. Get them on the Atkins diet. You know, who knows? Maybe he can do some spots for Jenny Craig. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here. That's just one piece of disturbing news today. North Carolina searches have found the body of a missing 5-year-old girl that really had the country just wound up. I got back yesterday from Atlanta. I'll tell you a little bit about our trip to Atlanta and an invention that they have in the great city of Atlanta that I think could really be used in other cities. I don't know if you've seen it before, but I'll tell you about it. I saw this thing in Atlanta, an invention of such magnitude and such a revolutionary scope that I think every single city in the country should adopt it. I will tell you about it when I come back here at 877-876-PHIL on the world-famous, groundbreaking, never-to-be-duplicated, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here. 877-876-PHIL. And you can watch the show as well as listen to the show online if you're not around in an area where one of our affiliates, ordinarily where one of our affiliates is. You can go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and not only listen to live audio streaming, but watch a live video feed as well. And if you miss all of that, you can access it the next day. You can download the show, the audio portion, and you can watch our video on demand for up to 5 days. We keep an archive of our video as well. So, and our website, within 30 days, we've got a complete redesign of our website, making accessing it much, much easier, and some news for our new subscribers as well that I think you're going to like. Just a concluding thought on the trial in New York of the detainees. You know, nobody even wants to call them, nobody calls them prisoners of war, even though everybody, you know, there's a whole argument, there's a side, a philosophical group of people, you know, who say that these guys are prisoners of war. Well, why don't you call them that then, man? These prisoners of war, if they're prisoners of war, they're prisoners of war. Anyway, they can try their asses in New York, and they can, and I know it's going to be different from a military tribunal because there'll be a jury. That's the difference between Nuremberg and this. Nuremberg was public, but it was a military tribunal. There were four judges, and they called the shots. This is the way it's going to be. Thank you very much, and good night. That's it. No jury, no nothing. This is a jury. Now, if they try these guys in New York with a jury, with the constitutional rights, with the whole kit and caboodle, and they find these guys not guilty, this will be the first multiracial riot, all 50 states.
You see, that's irresponsible of you.
Why?
Because you're going to get people to do that.
Oh, are you crazy, man? All right, then I'll riot. How about that?
Yeah, what are you going to do, burn your own house down?
No, I'll burn yours down.
Yeah.
I will. These guys go through a whole trial, and they find them not guilty. I'll riot.
You'll be by yourself.
Okay, well, whatever, bud. I don't give a damn, man. You know, I'm just telling you, it'll piss me off. Is that okay with you? Is that all right if I have feelings about this?
Yeah, you can have feelings, but if you're going to tell people to burn down a liquor store.
Yo, no, I would never ask them to burn down a liquor store, especially when I know you're going to be shopping there that night.
Man, that's funny. You're crazy.
I ain't crazy. I'm talking about how people feel. A lot of people agree with me. So anyway, Fatso, have yourself a good time down there in Gitmo. The other thing they could have done is they could have had the military tribunal at Gitmo and televised it, okay? So there, it's out in the open. This is how we do things. Boom, boom, beam, beam, there. Fang, thanks. Okay, good night. Now, I told you that we were in Atlanta over the weekend for Don Anthony's talk show boot camp. Terrific group of people, and I was on a panel there, and I was there with Larry Walks from the Regular Guys in Atlanta, and I was also there with Ken Charles, who's a program director of our flagship station our station, I should say, in Miami, and Greg Moscheri was there, who's a great programmer from Atlanta. And we were talking to a lot of the younger talk show hosts around the country on how to do a radio show, you know, how to do a talk show, and how to provide content and how to really, you know, make that thing happen, baby. And in the meantime, of course, I was saying to them, of course, if you're a local host, you better get yourself syndicated because just a lot of stuff that I don't want to go into. But as I was leaving Atlanta, as I was leaving Atlanta, I saw something that I'd never seen before. Now, I've traveled in a great number of airports across this fine country of ours. First of all, Hartsfield International Airport is the greatest airport I've ever been in. I don't give a damn what anybody says. It's the best. It beats the crap out of everything. Everything that they got it down there. It's a beautiful airport. They've got food courts that are nicely located near the gates. You're not walking 800,000 miles to get to, you know, just to get a cup of Starbucks. They've got trains that take you between the different concourses and the different terminals. It's a great airport. And they also had something there that no other airport has that I've been in. Now, I don't know whether you guys have ever heard of this thing or not, but it's called a bench. Now, what you do is this. When you are going through the security line and you're taking your shoes off and you're taking off your pants and your underwear and, you know, and...
You're not doing that.
I'm being facetious, all right?
Todd, man, get a clue.
Anyway, you're taking everything off to put into the thing and you're standing there nude and then you go through and, okay, beep, you know, it goes off. I'm nude. What could I possibly have? I don't know. You've got a metal plate in your head? I got no metal plate in my head, no. And then you get all your clothes and you put them back on. Guess what they have in Atlanta? They have this thing, and it looks like a chair. It's a bench, and you can sit down on it, and they've got about six of them, six, seven, eight of them, where people can sit down and put their shoes on.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool because, you know, as you well know, in most airports, 99.99999999% of all airports, once you get your shoes, you're looking around for a chair that maybe one of the TSA guys is sitting in having a hamburger or talking to his girlfriend on his cell phone, right? So you're trying to find a chair. Sometimes you wind up sitting on the floor. Sometimes you wind up walking through the whole terminal in your bare feet or in your socks so you get to the gates you can sit on and put your... But this is an idea. They actually said, let's put chairs there for people to sit in when they put their shoes on. So I thought it was phenomenal. Of course, I'm being a smart ass and sarcastic, but I got to tell you, when I saw this, I said, look at this, man. They thought of this in Hartsfield. One, two, three, four, all kinds of benches. Three, four, five people could sit on the same bench, put your shoes on. You could be a human being again and walk out, you know, not walk through the terminal holding your shoes and your stocking feet as you're running to make a plane, you know. Good job, man. Good job, Atlanta. Atlanta's a hell of a town. And it's a nice, clean town, and it looks like they built a town in the middle of a forest. I don't know how they do it, but you know, they got a great city there. And also, I want to thank Jeff Davis. We were on the air with Jeff at WCFO on Saturday morning, and I think it's a recorded interview, and he's going to be playing it back whenever he needs to play back an interview. If there's dead air or something, he'll just slip us in there. So I said, thanks a lot for that, Jeff. And he said, you're welcome. And so, hey, can I give you a ride anywhere? Yeah, I said, I'm going up to Dunwoody. He says, well, not that far. I said, never mind. So I wound up hitchhiking back to I'm kidding. Of course, I didn't have to do that. And it was a very, very good time and also met some pretty rowdy people. I don't remember that guy's name that I was talking to from that radio station in Delaware, but thank you very much for the free Don Julio shots.
That's good.
Good. Talk about expensive. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, potential for criminal behavior is evident at age 3. Get a load of that. And Call of Duty 2 has been banned in Russia. Politicians are split on housing the Gitmo detainees in Illinois. Here's a great idea for you guys in Illinois. Ask for some stimulus money, man. I'm serious. Ask for some dough. And I'll bet you anything that that's what's going to win. You give us enough money for this thing, we'd be happy to. You give us enough bread, man, to help finance the town festival, man. We're all in. All in on that one. We'll be back in a world-famous Phil Hendry show here on this Monday night, now Tuesday morning. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome to KBHS in Hot Springs, Arkansas. A new affiliate here on our Phil Hendry Show network. And as I said, check out our affiliate page on our website if you want to find out where we is around the country. MSNBC host Dylan Radigan apologizes for using fake Palin pics. Now, when was the last time we talked about this guy? He was laughing about... Remember when that woman...
Yeah, she thought Jesse Jackson looked like another Negro.
Will you knock it off with the Negro thing, okay?
Where are you from, man? What do you mean?
Black person, okay? Black person.
All right. She thought that Jesse Jackson looked like a black person.
No, she didn't think Jesse Jackson looked like a black person. She said she thought Jesse Jackson was some other guy. What's his name? Al Sharpton.
Yeah. Yeah, she thought he looked like him.
Boy, oh boy, man. Dylan Radigan. Anyway, no, it was the reporter, she thought. So when Radigan had her on his show the next day, he busted out with one of the all-time original lines. Hey, I hope I don't look like another Jew. Anyway, MSNBC's anchor Dylan Radigan apologized this morning, that would be on Monday morning, for using fake photos of Sarah Palin last Friday in a segment about the former Alaska governor and for not acknowledging their inauthenticity. Now, that's not quite what he's saying in the soundbite that we have here. In the soundbite that we've got here, he's doing what, naturally, he should do, and that is blame somebody on his staff. And that's exactly what he does do. He's blaming some of the little people there on the staff. What is this called? Radigan Dylan. Okay, here he is. Now, I'll give you the background on this before you hear him apologize and blame other people. He apologized. The pictures, which were widely circulated during last year's presidential campaign, show Palin's head photoshopped onto another woman's body. In one, Palin's wearing an American flag bikini and holding a rifle. In the other, the faux Palin is wearing a tight black miniskirt. So Radigan apologizes in the segment, which explored what is it about Palin that drives America wild. The miniskirt image appeared when Radigan said she's hot. The bikini, of course, he'd say that. The bikini image, which she ain't, Dylan. I don't know how to break the news to you, man. And I don't know how to break the news to millions of American men. No, she ain't.
Yeah, tell Rance that.
Rance is a hopeless case. She ain't hot. Anyway, in the segment which explored what is it about blah, 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 the bikini image juxtaposed with one of former Vice President Cheney holding a rifle comes on as Radigan says she's not Bush. And then they cue a laugh track. And anyway, Newsbusters reported the misstep on Friday and demanded an apology. Newsbusters, you're about as much a pain in the ass as that Media Matters. You know that? If you're a watchdog group, then you got to be a watchdog group, which means that you are not a partisan. Otherwise, you ain't a watchdog group. You're a propaganda mill. If you're a watch, they've got to watch both of them. There's no such thing as a liberal watchdog group. There ain't no such thing as a conservative watchdog group. By the very definition of what it is that you are, you're not watching jack squat, man. You're watching the other guys. Meanwhile, somebody has got their hand in your till, if you'll pardon the expression. The mistake comes on the heels of a Fox News incident that forced an apology from Sean Hannity. In that incident, Hannity used misleading photographs in a segment about Michelle Bachmann's recent Tea Party, showing pictures from the better-attended 9/12 rally. Well, here's the thing. If anybody was paying any attention, and I was, and I know, but that's because I'm in the media, the morning of the morning after the Michelle Bachmann rally, I asked Rance, I said, how many people were at that thing, man? Because I looked at the, you know, the crowd, and it was nothing. Every news story that I looked at said thousands attended Michelle Bachmann's rally. Thousands, every single, even the New York Times didn't have a number on the number of people. I don't know why. Maybe they felt it would come across as too biased if they reported a small number. Nobody reported anything, but I looked at this crowd, and there was nobody there. Now, Bachman had been yakking this up for a few weeks, and she'd been on the Hannity show, and she'd been blathering her big fat mouth off about this thing, and when it finally came time to have it, I mean, it was like a haunted house out there. So what did they do on the Hannity show? They used some photographs of a 9/12 rally 2 months ago that had more people. Hannity did not acknowledge that he was showing an entirely different event, and after he was called out by The Daily Show's Jon Stewart, he apologized on the air. I don't know whether Sean actually said they made a mistake, or did he come out and say, thank you very much, John, you're right, I lied, I knowingly showed different images. And I will tell you this right now, I don't know how it works, whether you review every single piece of video that goes on your show or not, but it's entirely possible that you do have a staff of people who put stuff on the screen, and you just say, okay, go ahead and get me video of that, and they put something up there that isn't really the case. I don't know. Hannity, it sounds to me like he took responsibility. You're right, but he did say we made a mistake. I don't know what that means, we made a mistake. Did you have a camera crew out there with the Michelle Bachman rally or not? Did you have a camera? You did? Yeah, okay. Where's the footage from that?
It's right here, not 9/12, the one from the thing.
Oh, that one, yes. Did you guys go there with a camera? Yes. Where's the footage? We burned it. Here is Dylan Radigan from MSNBC.
Before we begin this one, I want to apologize to Governor Palin and all of our viewers on Friday in a very misguided attempt to have some fun in advance of Sarah Palin's upcoming book, Going Rogue. Our staff mistakenly used some clearly photoshopped images of Ms. Palin without any acknowledgement. And on behalf of the show, I would like to say that this was completely unacceptable. We should have never used those photos in the first place. And you can rest assured, we spent the weekend and Friday afternoon taking measures to make sure it will never happen again. Now, I apologize.
What that sounds like to me is that he ripped into somebody's ass and he's not taking responsibility himself. In a mistaken and misguided attempt to have some fun, we used photoshopped pictures. Well, what were the pictures you were getting? Were they less fun, or were they less funny, or was it that your copy and what you were reading was really, really funny, Dylan? Because just reading it here, it ain't funny. So maybe you were going to make it funny with your delivery, and maybe the pictures that you had planned were, oh my God, what's that?
It looks like I think that's what's her name?
Who?
The lady that married Billy Bob Thornton.
Thornton? You mean that chick with the lips?
Yeah.
Boy, that can't be her. That woman has got... That's ugly. That looks like that guy that used to be the lead singer for DOA. And I won't even get into that. In any event, so it sounds to me like they put some pictures up there that the staff thought would work, and Mr. Radigan wasn't told about it, and in the ensuing brouhaha and imbroglio, he decided that he'd rip somebody's ass off the air, and he's apologized on behalf of the show, but not him. Okay? Is that how it works? There you go. Because of the very forthcoming book that she's got coming out, which is Going Rogue, which is also a very unfortunate title for a book, because Going Rogue generally has something to do with an elephant. Nonetheless, well, maybe that's it, the rogue elephant, the Republican elephant. The whole thing about media, as we always talk on this show, is not about truth, it's about getting viewers, folks. And one of these days, people will get this. Now we say this, we don't want to turn it into an unending, the sound of a hammer on an anvil, but it is not about getting the facts out to you. It's about getting you as an audience. So if it means lying to you, of course they'll lie to you. If it means passing the buck, of course they'll do that. They're not politicians. They're talk show hosts. So they can lie to you, and you guys will smile and say, give me more. I'm not saying you necessarily, but all of us, right? Politicians lie and we get angry. We throw them out of office or we keep voting for them despite ourselves. Politicians lie and we want them put on trial for high crimes and misdemeanors. Politicians lie. By the way, I'm reading a book about the Andrew Johnson impeachment. One of these days, if I've got about 3 hours, I'll tell you all about the stuff that went on around that. If you think people are crooked now, oh, woo, man. See, the thing of it, you know, people talk about history as being a dead issue, you know, dead on arrival. History, who needs that, man? If you want to know what's going on, you got to read history. If you think that stuff is crooked today, oh my God, that the Andrew Johnson impeachment trial, and wait till they get around to writing a book about impeaching Bill Clinton, which I ain't saying he didn't deserve,
But the backstairs deals and the hands, the greasy handshakes and the back scratching and the butt rubbing, it never ends. Well, if he promises to do this and this, then maybe we'll pull a vote and, okay, yeah, sure. And talk about payoffs and talk about money. Folks, lobbying is never, ever, ever going to leave the American political system. It's never, ever going to leave the American political system. If it did, we wouldn't know what to do. Everything works on money. You work on money. I work on money. Think about it. You guys go out, you do a job, you do a job for this much money, you'll go and you'll do another job for a little bit more money, and you'll keep on doing better jobs for more money and more money. Now, yeah, there's some things that you won't do for all the money in the world. I understand we all have our standards, but there's a hell of a lot of stuff that we can talk ourselves into for a lot of money, isn't there? If you're running for Congress and a guy gives you $200,000 or whatever the hell it used to be, I don't know how much money they can give him. Somebody was responsible for a lot of money, and the phone rings, and they say, Mr. So-and-so, who was responsible for all that money, is on the line. Are you telling me you ain't going to take that call? Lobbying is as old as the country. Now, the president and other presidents have said it. Says he wants to get rid of the special interests. Do you understand what we're talking about? We're talking about 200-plus years of special interests. So, in any event, when we talk about politicians and how they work and what it is that they got to do, the lobby is a part of Washington that's never going to go away. The best thing you can hope for is that lobbyists and the politicians that deal with them will always have the better interests of the country at heart, not their own. And I realize that that's in a tall order, but believe it or not, in my opinion, I think that that's the case most of the time. I know it's hard. I know people are cynical. They want to think, no, Phil, come on, they're politicians. They're crooked. But I say all of this to say something even more specific and more, I think, to the point, and that is, while we mistrust all the politicians, what's really running the show these days are these guys on TV with the shows, commentators, talk shows, talking heads. These guys get away with bloody freaking murder. They get away with cold-blooded murder every day with the horse crap that they sling, and nobody, who's going to hold them to account? Nobody, because it's entertainment. So if a guy says, for instance, our founding fathers wouldn't dot, dot, dot. That guy knows about as much about his founding fathers, man, as he probably knows about his own father. Like, who is he? We talked about it last week. George Washington. Does it get any more founding father than him? No. I mean, if you want to talk about founding father, there he is. He's the founding father, all right. That guy had no problem taking a whole bunch of federal troops out to redneck land in Pennsylvania to tell all those whiskey-sucking farmers out there, either you start paying the tax or guess what? Founding father. Federal tax. Do it or else. Don't talk to me about found. Read a little. Not you guys, because you cats are, you're way above the average talk show listener. But some of these Tea Party jackballs, I got another piece of news for you before we take our break. Healthcare in America, it's going to get reformed, and public option, there will be some form of it. You want to know why? Because it isn't an argument for 1 year. It's not a debate for 1 year. This is a four-year debate we're going to have, 4 years. And as the years roll by, and as people get smarter, and as people start realizing those guys with the three-pointed hats weren't all about, you know, all this horse dung you're being told they were about, we're going to get smart. All right, we'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to. Not a bad way to kick off the week. I'm looking at Billy Mays, even though he's dead. He's still pitching products. What's this one for, bud?
It's for holding a cell phone. It looks pretty good, too. Not bad for a dead man.
Oh. Anyway, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
You know, we're going to do our stories we couldn't get to, but just one final note here on this whole, you know, Congress and the presidency.
Under Bush, there was Gonzalez, and some guys got fired, and people thought it was political, and we found out that these guys got fired because they didn't take the direction of the Attorney General to investigate Acorn, and we find out now that there were good reasons to investigate Acorn, but at the time, the Congress got upset because how dare you fire these guys, and the phrase, serve at the pleasure of the president, you probably heard that, and people made fun of it because it sounds kind of, you know, gay. But the fact is that they do serve at the pleasure or at the discretion of the president. And the same thing with Obama. When Obama fired some people, the Congress said, well, you can't do that because we're the Congress. Well, the same thing happened to Andrew Johnson. Well, guess what? The president can fire anybody he wants to because the Constitution gives him that right. The Constitution gives the Congress the right to advise and consent when you hire. So the Gonzalez thing and the recent stuff with Obama goes all the way back to Andrew Johnson, who wasn't all that great of a president. But he did have one thing right. I'll fire anybody I want to fire. And you guys in the Congress can stick it. And they impeached him. And he said, I'm not going to follow your unconstitutional law, which was called Office of Tenure Act. And the Congress was jumping up and down, invoking the memory of Lincoln and saying, look what Andrew Johnson's doing. He's destroying our country. And oh, my goodness gracious. And at the end of the day, they acquitted him. Now, some people say they acquitted him because guys got paid off. Maybe they did. But the fact is, they got the decision right. You can't impeach a president just because he's pissing you off in Congress. You can't impeach him because politically he doesn't share your views. You can't impeach him because he just seems like a really bad guy. He's got to commit actual high crimes and misdemeanors. For instance, lying under oath like Clinton. Now then,
You really think that Clinton lied and everything about that?
Sort of. Stories we couldn't get to. Police said a highly intoxicated man who survived when multiple freight train cars rolled over him is the luckiest guy alive. Wow. Police Major Kevin Lemke said Canadian National Railway employees reported they ran over someone lying between the tracks and did an emergency stop about 10:30 last Thursday. Officers found a 42-year-old local man in some bushes 20 feet away from the tracks. The man indicated he was walking when he saw the train and jumped out of the way. But Lemke said he tends to believe the employees over an intoxicated man. The man had no serious injuries and received a trespassing citation. Canadian National spokesman Patrick Waldron said such an incident usually results in serious or fatal injury. And the assembled reporter said, really, you serious? Could you double check that? I said, well, okay. Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies have arrested a man they say is the oldest tagger they've ever captured. Lieutenant Eric Rubel said 74-year-old John Scott was arrested Friday when deputies spotted him putting stickers on a stairwell at the downtown 7th and Metro Center subway station in Los Angeles. Ruble said the oldest suspect they'd previously arrested for tagging was 36. Did I say Ruble or Ruble?
Yeah.
Ruble says Scott was putting an orange and black sticker up that says, who is John Scott? He allegedly has placed them on buses in Baldwin Hills and areas on the west side of the city. Scott runs a website through which baseball caps and other items displaying his message are for sale. Deputies did not immediately know if he'd retained an attorney or has his website made any money, man. Rosie admits partner Kelly moved out 2 years ago. Dateline Rosie's house. Rosie O'Donnell may have said last month that she was done commenting on her breakup rumors, dogging the relationship with her partner of 5 years, Kelly Carpenter, but that all changed on Friday of last week. On her Sirius satellite radio show, O'Donnell suddenly admitted Carpenter had moved out of their home 2 years ago. The reason for the big reveal? The pressing psychic and a long-haired chihuahua. So she had a psychic on the show, Sonia Fitzpatrick. Where did you get her from, Rosie? Because she says she came from somewhere, and she says she's happier with you. She's so spoiled, and she loves to burrow. And Rosie confirms she does. She burrows in the bed right next to me. And that's when the word came out that there wasn't anybody next to her but a dog. And somebody said, well, wasn't that true when you had Kelly? And Rosie, you know, left the show. No, she didn't. She said, we're a family. We remain a family. Kelly and I love each other very much, but I haven't seen her in 2 years. In Caracas, Venezuela, call it the Bolivian Battle of the Bulge. President Hugo Chavez said in a televised speech Friday that there are lots of fat people in Venezuela, and he advised his supporters to exercise and eat healthy to trim their big fat waistlines. All except him. He says, I'm not saying fat women because they never get fat, he added. Women sometimes fill out. The 55-year-old leader said he himself has lost nearly 20 pounds by exercising and eating well. But Chavez, who still appears heavier than when he first took office in 1999, acknowledged that he could lose a few more pounds. Doing sit-ups, he said, eating well, one has to learn to eat. Chavez suggested rice pasta instead of spaghetti made from wheat and recommended drinking soy milk, saying soy products help fight aging. Chavez said his diet and exercise have made him feel stronger and ready to continue commanding the Bolivarian Revolution, the name he's given his socialist-inspired political movement. In Waco, Texas, authorities say a Texas woman lied about having breast cancer and spent $10,000 raised at a benefit to have her breasts enlarged. McLennan County Sheriff's Investigator James Pack says in court records the 24-year-old Trista Joy Lathern shaved her head to look like a cancer patient undergoing chemotherapy. It's pretty smart.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Anyway, Pack says Latham wanted breast implants to try to save her seven-month marriage. The Waco Tribune Herald reports that, what did her husband think her breasts were going to get larger after they get married? Anyway, the Waco Tribune Herald says Lathern is charged with theft by deception. Sheriff's officials said Lathern's attorney did not immediately return phone calls. About that, man.
Save my head.
Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, for live streaming video and audio, as well as downloads. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good day from the El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.